Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
What are the particular comforts of Lutheran theology in practice? Find out in my column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Peter Slayton writes about growing up in a Christianity that was more about him and what he was doing, and finding in the Lutheran Confession a Christianity that focused on Jesus. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're going to talk about Joel Osteen's hijacking a prophecy about Jesus to make it be about you. Joining us to do so, Pastor Chris Rosebro. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he's creator and host of the YouTube channel called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
So most people looking at Joel Osteen would say, Hagin, Copeland, Price, those guys are genuinely word faith, name it and claim it guys. But Osteen, not so much. How do you respond?
That is, kind of like an ostrich sticking its head in the sand. The issue is that Joel Osteen, unlike Hagin and Copeland, isn't overt in his teaching, where he does kind of the classic word of faith thing, where you need to sow $1,000 seed offering into his ministry and then God will make you a millionaire. He's one of these fellows that avoids that kind of egregious, just charlatanry out there, teaching for shameful gain things he ought not to teach. All of that being said, though, Joel Osteen legitimately is a word of faith teacher. He believes in what are called faith-filled words actually having power. He overtly teaches that God created the universe by means of faith-filled words and speaking the world into existence. And as you're going to hear as these sound bites unfold today, that he even believes that Jesus is one of these believers in the power of positive declarations. And how he handles these biblical texts in our sound bites today is going to be quite eye-opening, especially for the person who doesn't believe that Joel Osteen is a word of faith preacher.
So one more question about Joel himself. The others we've named, they have made themselves millions of dollars, but no one has had the kind of success that Joel Osteen has. Maybe some South Korean word faith teachers or something like that that we're not as aware of, but Joel Osteen has literally put all these other megachurch pastors and word faith teachers in his dust. How did he do it?
He did it by not being egregiously overt about prosperity. Instead, he teaches kind of a light version of it that still has all the promises. And you got to admit that Joel Osteen just genuinely seems like a really nice, likable guy. He seems like the kind of person that it'd be nice to have a meal with him or have coffee with him. And you know that if you were his friend, that he would be very encouraging. If you were experiencing difficulty, he'd be right there encouraging you to speak faith-filled words, and he would speak declarations over you. He just is kind of like the word of faith version of a Snuggie. And that makes his appeal much broader than the guys who are overtly out there teaching for shameful gain things they ought not to teach, because there's always a sense of cynicism and skepticism when somebody is overtly greedy. He doesn't seem to have any of those issues.
What are we going to hear first from Joel?
Okay, so soundbite number one, we're going to hear Joel Osteen talk about what the power of positive declarations. And it's in this first soundbite that we're going to hear him take a prophecy from Isaiah, a prophecy that Jesus himself uses when he's at the synagogue in Nazareth. And we're going to pay attention to how he uses this prophecy and what he thinks the theology is behind it.
I want to talk to you today about I declare. Words are powerful. They have the ability to help set the direction for our lives. when they're spoken over us by someone that has authority, like a parent, a coach, a mentor, they can determine our destiny. And the reason some people aren't reaching their potential is they've never had the blessings spoken over them. They've never had anyone declare what they can become, who God says they are, and how they have seeds of greatness. Isaiah said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to declare the year of God's favor, to announce freedom to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, good news to the poor." Isaiah went around declaring favor, freedom, victory. All those that would receive it, those that would let those words take root, would see it come to pass. Hundreds of years later, Jesus was in the synagogue in Nazareth. He picked up a scroll that had the writings of Isaiah. Of all the things he could have read, hundreds of different passages, he found this same place and read it to the people. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to declare the year of God's favor." Jesus knew the power of declaring. He knew you have to hear victory spoken over you. You have to hear abundance, healing, freedom for it to come to pass. You may have heard it in the past, but life happens. 2020 may have taken your passion. You go through disappointments. A dream didn't work out. You're still believing to meet the right person. The thoughts of doubt come. It's never going to happen. You're never going to get well. You've seen your best days. The negative starts to drown out what was spoken over you. That's why you need a fresh blessing. You need fresh favor spoken over your life. You need a fresh anointing. That's what I'm going to do today. Like Isaiah declared the blessing, Jesus thought it was so important that he repeated it. I'm going to declare some things that God says about you. If you will let these words take root, if you will receive them into your spirit, they're going to put you on a path to greater joy, better health, stronger relationships, to new levels of your destiny. These words have the power to ignite something in your spirit, to wake up dreams, to unleash the favor, the gifts, the potential that God put in you.
Okay, Chris, what did he do with that passage?
So we're going to note that in a sense, what he got the gist of the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 61, at least it on the surface of it. He didn't twist the text. He omitted some things. But where the theology is in his narrative about why Isaiah spoke these words and wrote them down, and then also why Jesus then, you know, re-spoke these words. And the claim is that Jesus knew the power of declarations, so did Isaiah, and then the claim was anybody who would speak these declarations and receive them, that they would have the blessings that were given. No biblical text says this. This is a theology that comes out of the Word of Faith movement, not out of Scripture. And it's important to note that what Isaiah was doing here was giving a prophecy regarding the Messiah. That's Jesus Christ. And we see then in Luke chapter 4, I'm going to read out the passage because I want you to see how Jesus truly use these words, as opposed to the way Joel Osteen kind of omitted some things in, and then gave us a different narrative. It says, "When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as was his custom, he went to the synagogue, and on the Sabbath day he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me.'" And anoint in the Hebrew is Mashiach. "He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's kind of the entirety of the prophecy. And then it says, "Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.' And all spoke well of him, marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth." And he said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And then Jesus said, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.' what we heard you did in Capernaum, do here in your hometown. And then Jesus goes on to say, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. And they almost killed Jesus. This results in them driving Jesus out of the synagogue and bringing him to the brink of the cliff there in Nazareth in order to kill him. Because they recognized that what Christ was saying, and saying that these words of the prophet Isaiah were fulfilled in their hearing, is that Jesus was claiming to be the Messiah, because that was a prophecy regarding the Messiah. And so you'll note, for all Joel Osteen's claim that this is all about Jesus knowing the power of decreeing and declaring and faith-filled words and the power of words, this doesn't pan out, because when you see what's going on here, Isaiah 61 is an explicit prophecy regarding the Messiah. Christ claimed that in their reading that was fulfilled, and they were offended by what he said. And this had nothing to do with them then receiving positive things so that they can have better health and prosperity, greater joy and things like this. It's absolutely, I would say, demonic that Joel Osteen has taken this prophecy about Jesus and made it about the power of decreeing positive words.
What's next from Joel?
So what's next is that he's going to then continue on with this idea of the power of words. And let's listen as Joel Osteen explains to us why Jesus said certain things that he said to his disciples.
When Jesus chose his disciples, they were ordinary people, a fisherman, a tax collector, carpenters. Yet he looked at them and said, "You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth." They could have thought, "What's he talking about? There's nothing special about us." Their reasoning said he has the wrong person. But down in their spirit, something ignited. Something came alive. Their seeds of greatness began to take root. They felt faith rising up, destiny calling them. Instead of talking themselves out of it, they got in agreement. "Yes, we're the light of the world. Yes, we're going to leave our mark. We're going to impact our generation." Jesus spoke the blessing. He declared favor and influence, and because they agreed, they saw it come to pass. They're still affecting us 2,000 years later. Don't talk yourself out of this favor. Don't think of all the reasons this can't happen for you. The blessing I'm about to speak is more powerful than any force that's trying to hold you back. The blessing is not canceled out because of your background, how you were raised, your education. It's not stopped by mistakes you've made, by how long it's been, by disappointments. The blessing is a supernatural empowerment, a divine favor that will thrust you where you can't go on your own. I declare for you and your family, this will be a year of God's favor, that new doors are going to open, opportunities are going to find you, good breaks are going to track you down. Divine connections, the right people are going to show up. People that will use their influence to help you go further. People that have been ordained to help you reach your destiny. You don't have to make this happen. You don't have to manipulate things, try to convince someone to like you. God has already lined up the right people for you.
I noticed something there, Chris. Mm-hmm. Actually, a couple of things. He's adamant that the blessing can't be canceled by your past or any of that kind of stuff. And he said there at the end, you don't have to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't believe the blessing, then it's not going to happen.
Yep.
As much as he's making this sound like an undeserved gracious act by God, in the end, it really isn't. It's really your own effort.
Right. And so you're going to note then that this isn't faith in Christ. This is faith in the power of words. And faith becomes the work or the currency that you need to muster up in order to rightly receive the power of these words. In theological terms, we refer to this as fideism, faith in faith, which is this weird circular thing that you have going on here. And when this is your understanding of faith, faith truly becomes a work. And so rather than a gift given by God. And so the question is, what is your faith in, or who is your faith in? And Joel Osteen, it's very clear his faith isn't in Jesus. His faith is in the power of these words. And he even notes that Jesus has that same kind of faith. Jesus knows this power. And so he has certainty regarding the power of these words. And you'll again note that the theology is found not in the biblical text, it's found in the narrative, and then he takes passages out of context. And I would note that when he talked about where Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world," that's actually found in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. And just listen to the context here. Jesus speaking, he says, I'll start in verse 11 of chapter 5. "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And so, you know, when we put these verses back in context, they're not saying what Joel Osteen said. And I would note that nowhere in the scripture does it say that the disciples, upon hearing these words, thought, "Where is this guy coming from?" And then they decided that they were going to go ahead and embrace and believe this blessing that was spoken over them. Nowhere in the text does it say, as Joel Osteen says, the disciples felt faith rising up and that they decided that they too now, because Jesus had spoken these positive words, "You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world," that they were going to now rise up and achieve their full potential and believe the words that were spoken over about the latent greatness that resided in them, and that they were going to leave their mark. No biblical text says any of this. And so you'll note that Joel Osteen is just a master of weaving together a very, very feel-good message that plays into our sinful nature's inherent satanic pride to make us feel like, you know, well, the reason why I'm, you know, experiencing difficulty in my life because I just haven't reached my potential, and that Jesus is all about speaking words so that we can finally achieve that. It really is a narcissistic, self-centered form of works righteousness, but the works righteousness is in the you deciding to have faith in faith, and faith in these faith-filled words rather than faith in Christ.
Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith is our guest. We're talking about Joel Osteen's hijacking of a prophecy about Jesus. Why is it every year is the year of the Lord's favor? We'll answer that question next.
You could win recordings of all 10 Making the Case conferences and recordings of more than 50 hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. Here's how. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. with Apple Podcasts. Copy and paste the text of your review and send it to talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll announce the winners on February 1st. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. with Apple Podcasts, and send your review to talkback@issuesetc.org.
Can you ever hear too much good news? Especially in challenging times, we need to hear how God is working through His church to bring truth, goodness, and beauty to the world. Hi, this is Rahema Kavuga of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Take a break from cable news and find refreshment at interesttime.org, where you can read all about what's happening in places like St. Mark Lutheran Church and School in Kaneohe, Hawaii. Sign up for a free subscription and share with anyone that needs a good boost. Again, that's interesttime.org.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com lutheracademy.com.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. We're talking about Joel Osteen hijacking a prophecy about Jesus. So, Chris, I often wonder, as long as we have had conversations about Joel Osteen, does he ever say that this is the year of the Lord's disfavor? It's like every year is the year of the Lord's favor.
Right, and it has to be, because to say that this would be a year of God's disfavor is to speak negative words. It would be to speak a curse. In Joel Osteen's theology, it becomes almost the tyranny of the positive. It's as if somebody has painted this grotesque mask that has this, always has a smiley face on it. And no matter what circumstances you're going through, you can't say out loud, I feel sick, I lost my job, or there's a negative circumstance going on. You can't do that. You have to put this grotesque smiley face mask and always keep it on, and then say these positive words. And so it's this bizarre tyranny of always the positive. In fact, what's fascinating is that even the secular world has recognized that this is a very dangerous way to live your life, because this is the main philosophy that you see in the people who are in the self-help gurus and stuff like this. And they've come up with a term for it. It's called toxic positivity. If you were to Google it, you can find that there are now like psychological journal articles written about toxic positivity. And I would argue that within evangelicalism, Joel Osteen is the poster boy for toxic positivity.
What's next?
All right, so let's take a look. Now, we're going to look at somebody who apparently Joel Osteen has spoken with or communicated with, who suffered from addiction. Let's call addiction what it is. Addiction is sin. And Scripture is so clear on this, that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is what it says in 1 John. So here we're going to have somebody who is dealing with sinful thoughts and behaviors. And I want you to listen carefully to Joel Osteen's solution to the problem.
I talked to a lady that struggled with an addiction since she was in her teens. She's in her 40s now. And she told how others in her family had the same addiction. She had heard her whole life, you'll always be addicted. It runs in our family. Looked like that negative cycle would continue. A couple of years ago, someone gave her my podcast and she started listening. She heard me talking about how you weren't created to be addicted. How that's not who you are, that's what you do. Who you are is a child of the Most High God. You were created to be free. When she heard that, something came alive on the inside. Those words of faith ignited the freedom in her spirit. She had never had anyone speak the blessing over her. No one had ever declared freedom for the captives. She had heard for years negative words, what she couldn't do, how she was limited. Never measure up. This day was a turning point. She started saying every morning, I am free. This addiction is not my destiny. She started seeing herself differently. Instead of struggling, addicted, she saw herself healthy, whole, free. About 3 months later, she woke up one morning and had no desire for the addiction. Didn't happen gradually. Suddenly she was free. This all happened when someone spoke the blessing over her. When I declared freedom, she did her part and received it into her spirit. And if you just hear these words, they'll encourage you. They'll help you for a few days. But if you'll let them take root in your spirit, if you'll get in agreement and say, yes, this is for me, then they will become a reality.
Is he talking about visualization?
In part, I would say in part. The visualization is not an overt part of the word of faith heresy, but it is something that is oftentimes interwoven into it. But in this particular case, we're dealing with a 40-year-old woman who has an addiction that she's had since she was a child, and apparently there are other members of her family who also have that same addiction. Again, let's call this what this is. This is sin. And nowhere does it say that she heard God's law and recognized that she was a sinner and called out to God and said, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. In fact, if you were to like take a look at Luke chapter 18, in Luke chapter 18, we have that wonderful parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And I want you to consider this parable in light of positive faith-filled words and see if Jesus is all about that. So it says, Jesus said, those who trusted in themselves and that they were righteous and they treated others with contempt, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, the tax collector Jesus is referring to, went down from his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. And so you'll note that what Joel Osteen is teaching and preaching and proclaiming, this receiving of these blessings, I am the head, not the tail, all of this is a form of self-exaltation. And coming back to the point that you made on the other soundbite, you know, is this some kind of a work? The answer is yes, because you'll note that the woman, she did her part by getting in agreement with the blessing that Joel Osteen was speaking. And yet it's ironic that these blessings that Joel Osteen speaks about himself and speaks over others eerily sounds like the prayer of the Pharisee, that I thank you that I'm not like other people. Oh, what an amazing boy that I am. Whereas the tax collector honestly confesses his sin, and Christ says that he's justified before God while the Pharisee isn't. And so that's really the rub here, is that Joel Osteen claims our problem is that we're not reaching our potential because somebody hasn't spoken blessings over us and we haven't accepted those blessings into our heart. And once we do, that becomes the impetus by which we defeat sin in our life. Whereas Christ is the one who has defeated sin, death, and the devil for us. And Scripture teaches us to call out to him in penitent faith, asking him humbly to forgive us of our sins, and Scripture promises that he does. Whereas Joel Osteen, this theology is so the opposite direction of what Christ said.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity, talking about Joel Osteen hijacking a prophecy about Jesus. The Issues Etc. book of the month for January is called Blessed Be His Name. It examines how God uses his name for our benefit in Jesus Christ. Find out more about the Issues Etc. book of the month for January at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Blessed Be His Name, Revealing the Sacred Names of God. On the other side, Joel has a unique framework. It's not the classical Christian message of repent and believe the gospel. It is not sin and then God's grace for the sake of Christ. It's something else entirely. We'll talk about it with Chris Roseborough next.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois invites you to an open house from 1 to 3 on Sunday afternoon, January 31st. Take a tour, visit with faculty and administration, and find out more about financial assistance and scholarships. For more information, visit the Facebook page for Metro East Lutheran High School or call 618-656-0043. Open house at Metro East Lutheran High School, Edwardsville, Illinois, Sunday afternoon, January 31st.
These are radical progressive theories that really even only entered the mainstream of the Democratic Party in the very last year of the Obama administration. And now in 2021, on the first day in office, Biden has given us that all across our civil rights laws.
And he said, look, when do you think is the first time we could protect the child? And she said, when you get it home.
False teachers go from bad to worse. And if your pastor is already slipping and working in direct revelation into his sermons, it's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse.
The Lord sees history with spiritual eyes, and the revelation starts to give us those spiritual eyes as well. The eyes of the Lord that look upon death and see life.
Coming up in a half hour, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll have soundbites from Dr. Ryan Anderson, Dr. Hadley Arkus, Pastor Chris Rosebro, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. You'll vote on them in a half hour by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. You can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We're talking about Joel Osteen hijacking a prophecy about Jesus. It's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Rosebro. Chris, let me see if I can summarize this. Joel's framework is not sin and grace, not I sin and God forgives me for the sake of Christ alone. His framework sounds more like I have negative circumstances or negative thoughts, and the response to that, the answer to that, the remedy to that is I do my part by believing Joel's declaration of blessing.
Correct. Yeah. And that will then result in you no longer even having a desire to sin, which again is nowhere taught in Scripture. At its core, this is like the Pelagian heresy on steroids, and this does not properly address the real problem that we face as humanity, and that is our collective rebellion against God, our fall into sin, and the consequences rightly deserved on our part of all the negative circumstances and chastisements, punishments, and judgments of God that we receive because of our rebellion against him. So this is straight up mythology that Joel Osteen is preaching. This is a different gospel. This is a different problem that he's presenting, and it's a completely different solution than the solution given in Scripture. And as a result of it, we must, by the testimony of Scripture, come to the conclusion that Joel Osteen is a rank heretic. He's not an erring brother in Christ. This is a different spirit, a different Jesus, a different gospel, and we must reject it in the strongest possible terms as Christians.
What's in the last bite from Joel?
So Joel Osteen ends this sermon by declaring blessing over people. And again, ask yourself, are these the declarations like we heard from the Pharisee or the confession of sin that we heard from the tax collector?
This is what your heavenly Father says about you. I declare by the authority that God has given me that you are blessed. I declare that you are blessed with wisdom, that you have clear direction, that you make good choices in life. I declare that you are blessed with courage, with strength, with great vision, with an obedient heart, with a positive outlook. I declare that you are blessed with good health, with vitality, with energy, that you will live a long, satisfied life. I declare that you are blessed with a good family, good friends, healthy relationships, that your children will be mighty in the land. I declare that you are blessed with protection, that God is guarding you, guiding you, that angels are watching over you and your family. I declare that you are blessed with promotion, with good success, with ideas, with creativity. I declare that whatever you put your hands to will prosper. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. I declare you will lend and not borrow, that you will be above and never beneath. And I declare that every negative word, Every curse that has been spoken over you right now, that curse is broken. I declare negative things that have been in your family line for generations will no longer have any effect on you. The generational curse is broken and the generational blessing is beginning. I declare this will be a year of God's favor, freedom for every bad habit, recovery from everything that was lost, that from this day forward, you will experience a new sense of freedom, a new happiness, a new fulfillment. Friends, I declare that you are blessed. And if you receive the blessing, can you say amen?
Okay, Chris, he claims to be speaking there for God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would note that this runs the exact opposite direction of what Christ said. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, Jesus says, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. And so you'll note that what Joel Osteen did in the setup to this, you know, sermon, he had Isaiah prophesying the year of the Lord's favor because Isaiah knows the power of faith-filled words. Jesus picking up the same words of Isaiah because Jesus knows how important the positive power of faith-filled words are. And now Joel Osteen, in line with Jesus and Isaiah, is now speaking faith-filled words over people and encouraging them to take these words up in their mouths and make these proclamations and declarations about themselves and their positive future. But again, the real Jesus, the biblical one, says everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And so this theology, this doctrine that Joel Osteen is putting forward to is as demonic and deadly as they get. The devil's all about himself and exalting himself. And this is some weird Christianized version of the theology of the devil. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 14, you have the prophecy, if you would, the declarations of the devil himself. And I would note these sound eerily like what it is that we just heard Joel Osteen say, where in Isaiah, the devil says, I will exalt myself. I will be like the Most High. I will sit in the mount of the assembly. I will. And in those words, it's the same theology that we're hearing Joel Osteen say. And the source is not Christ. It's not the real God. It is none other than the devil himself.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He is creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. You'll find a link to Fighting for the Faith at issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Chris, thanks.
Thank you.
Joel Osteen is a textbook case for the need for a formal theological education. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, provides in-depth formation in biblical interpretation, church history, the Lutheran confessions, and practical theology. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. We will respond to an op-ed in the Washington Post titled How the Biden Administration Should Stand Up for Abortion Rights with Dr. Donna Harrison of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists next. The name of the Lord in the life of the Christian, the church, and fulfilled in Jesus. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is Blessed Be His Name, Revealing the Sacred Names of God. It's written by regular guest Dr. Kevin Golden. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House and request Blessed Be His Name, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Blessed Be His Name.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our trek through St. Matthew with Last Judgment Part 2, Plot to Kill Jesus, Anointing at Bethany, Betrayal and Last Supper, and the Institution of the Holy Eucharist. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you planning your vacation in the Orlando area? Are you thinking about retiring in Central Florida? Are you looking for a faithful Lutheran church near the theme parks? Then Zion Lutheran Church and School is the place for you. We're in Winter Garden, Florida, about 20 minutes from all the attractions. At Zion Lutheran Church and School, we believe, teach, and confess God's truth for you. Find out more on our website, zionwg.org.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.